Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 145. Is that right? 145?
Yep.
We've been doing this a long time.
We did it, guys. We made it over the hump. 145.
Does that mean we can stop now?
haven't we said that like four times now? I just keep losing track. I'm just hoping that you guys are paying attention because, you know, it's rough. Anyway, my name is Chris Ferricchio. I am here with Travis Baum.
Yo.
And Jeff Torney.
Hey, what up?
And special guest joining us today is Jonathan Downen from Cast Medium. Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks for coming on. Why don't you give us a rundown of what you do for Cast Medium and what the site is all about?
Sure. I'm the founder of Cast Medium. You've been talking about us for your past few shows, I think. But for those that are still unaware, it's basically a podcast aggregator. We kind of handpick the podcasts that we think are the best. We cover game and tech and movie podcasts. And we pick the ones that we kind of like and do sort of daily recaps of what they talk about. So we just listen to them, talk about what they talk about, mention any specifically notable topics, and try to keep them organized in a way where you can kind of find podcasts that cover the same sorts of things through organization of tag systems and stuff like that. So basically, it's just a place to hang out and talk about the podcasts you love and find out about new episodes.
Cool. Well, yeah, we have been talking about you for a while, and we love what you guys are doing. It makes it a lot easier for people that like us that listen to gaming podcasts to get everything we need all in one spot.
Especially the Android users.
Yeah, because there's not really a good app or anything like that to go and grab, you know, podcasts in this sort, at least that we found. So.
Yeah, I'm a heavy iTunes user, so like that's something that doesn't really come to my mind immediately, so it's great to hear that we're serving an audience that I didn't even really think of when starting this.
Well, we're here, just so you know.
The army is growing.
Yeah. That's right. Cool. Well, Travis, what's up with you, man? How you doing?
Doing good. Started the new fitness program last week when we were recording. Jeff told me about this book he was getting. I looked at it. It's pretty much... Long story short, eating like a caveman to lose weight. and like, not to just lose weight, but just to stay fit and just live a healthier lifestyle, pretty much. It's called the Primal Blueprint. It's really, really cool. But I'm sticking with it. I won't talk too much about it because, really, Jeff hasn't gotten the book yet and we really haven't gotten into it. But it's working. I feel really, really great. Gonna be nice and cut for the deuce. I'm really enjoying that. But the most important thing I wanted to talk about, let's get all that fitness crap out of the way. So crack open a beer and listen up. I had a crap day today, guys. Crap day at work. It's one of those days I just want to go home, go to sleep, or play a video game and just forget about the day. Well, I came home.
And here you are podcasting with us instead.
I know, right? I'm living a dream. But I wish I could say that. Nonetheless, I come home and my wife has great, great news for me. My favorite book series, it's Stephen King's The Dark Tower.
Oh, I saw your tweet about this.
Just got announced that they're not only doing three movies, which the first movie is going to be directed by Ron Howard, so far so good.
Oh, that's cool.
But they're also doing an NBC television series as well. In the first series, a number of those episodes are also going to be directed by Ron Howard. I am so hyped about this. Guys, if you like, I mean, if you're not a Stephen King fan because you don't like his type of horror, throw that out the window and still pick up The Dark Tower. If you're really not too sure what The Dark Tower is about, check out the graphic novels and the comic books for The Dark Tower. They're really, really fantastic. It's really good fiction. I urge you to check it out. It's funny, Jonathan, I just started listening to Film Spotting. And I'm really excited to hopefully hear them talk about this on the next podcast when it comes out. So I'm really, really excited about that. But that's the big news for me. I'm so hyped. I've been waiting for this movie for the longest time. So it's actually happening. So and before we go to Jeff, guys, what are we sipping on tonight?
I got a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's the only thing I had left. And then,
wait. Yeah, where are you making fun of me last week?
you were drinking a wine spritzer. Okay,
it was a wine spritzer. It was a friggin' Bacardi Breezer. Come on, man.
Same thing. Same thing. It's the only thing I had in the house. Come on now.
It's the exact same as Mike's Hard Lemonade, except it tastes like.
Except not as cool.
Orange popsicle thing.
Orange popsicle.
Anyway,
thing.
Jonathan, you drinking anything?
Yeah, I actually took your advice and am having somewhat of a nightcap tonight. It's the much reviled but still American classic Budweiser Lager.
Oh, is that the American
the
lager?
Bud.
It is the American
lager.
I
like that. So it's not bad.
You're feeling like a little bit too weak tonight to drink water? Or
oh, don't listen to the Canadian.
Their beer is so much better.
On that note, I'm drinking Alexander Keith's. One of the
what
best
is that?
Beers.
That is a good beer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some when I was up in Canada with them, and that is a good beer. I like Keith's.
It's good stuff.
Cool.
You might have had it before, Charles. I can't really remember.
I think I did. It does sound familiar. Yeah. I am drinking a cup of black coffee, but sitting next to me, I already have a glass, a bottle opener, and a bottle of red vino. Got me a little wine. Because the fitness book says that a couple of glasses of red wine, not too bad for you. So I'm gonna be drinking on some wine during part two. I don't want to get too drunk like I did yesterday. So
And it's classy. It's the one classy
thing that Travis has. There you go.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for that. Anyway, Jeff, what's up, buddy?
Not much, man. Do you guys have a good weekend? Like the Labor Day long weekend?
I worked.
Did you?
Oh, no, yeah. I did, yeah. I mean, we had a barbecue on Monday, so that was cool. Nice. But you went camping or something? Or you went
out
to
a trip? We went to a cottage. We went out to a cottage up north, and it was still fun. I mean, like, eight of us went. The weather was terrible. It rained, pissed rained all Saturday. It didn't rain on Sunday, but it was very overcast and kind of cold. So we didn't spend too much time outside, just a lot of time. They actually had a hot tub there. That was kind of cool. So fitting eight people into, like, a four-person hot tub was pretty awesome. And, yeah, and just played a lot of drinking games and stuff inside and whatever. It was a lot of fun, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking. But other than that, it was a normal weekend. And then today, speaking of this whole eating thing, I go out today on my lunch break. I bought a bunch of, like, strawberries, blueberries, and all this stuff. And I know people don't necessarily want to hear all these stories, but I need to vent because this really pissed me off. So I probably spent about $15 worth of food for, like, this week and maybe if I had some leftover for, like, Monday, Tuesday, next week. So I put it in the fridge. Go back to my desk, work for about 2 hours. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab something. Go back to the fridge, open it up. Fridge is completely empty.
No.
I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Ooh.
So I look at the fridge right behind the other one. I'm looking around. It's like kind of full, but I'm like, okay, I don't see my bag here anymore. I don't see anything that I bought. Okay, this is kind of pissed. So I go back, and I'm like, hey, did they clean out one of the fridges today? Because I just bought a bunch of crap, put it in there, and now it's fucking gone. I'm like pretty pissed. I'm like, you know, it's, you know, $15 of stuff just down the toilet. And it's like four people are like, you know that fridge is out of, like, service, right? It hasn't been working since, like, last Thursday. And I'm like,
oh my God.
I'm like, no, did I miss the memo? Did something go around or something like that? And like, yeah, an email went around, like, last week sometime. I'm like, okay.
An email. Did they not put a big out of order sign on the fucking fridge?
Chris,
what the hell?
So this is what happens. So I'm like, okay, that's fucking bullshit. Cause, like, even if somebody did toss it, you think they would have put it on the counter or at least turned around and put it into the other fridge that's right behind it. That's all I had to do. So then someone was like, well, I think there's a sign on there, something about them throwing out food today or something. I'm like, no way. So I walk back, I look at the fridge, and son of a bitch, there's a big sign saying out of order. If you have any food in here, have it removed today by 5 p.m. And I just walk back, like the walk of shame back to my desk. And I'm just like, everyone's looking at me. I'm like, don't even fucking say anything. I'm just sitting down. Fuck it. I'm going to eat my almonds.
You can hear that sad Snoopy music from Peanuts. While you're walking.
That was my idea. I just wanted some strawberries, man. That's all I wanted.
I just wanted to eat my berries and be healthy.
Yeah, now I'm going to go do the whole thing again tomorrow. Didn't I see you here yesterday? Yeah, shut up. I ate a lot. Okay, I was hungry. Chris, what about you, man?
Well, as I said, over the weekend, we did a little barbecue, and that was pretty much it. It was also my father-in-law bought a motorcycle recently, and he is really doing, like, the father-in-law pressure rather than peer pressure to try and get me to get a motorcycle now. And
oh, dude.
I am seriously thinking about it because there are some.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
Dude.
I'm seriously thinking about it.
Don't kill yourself, man.
I'm serious, man. They're pretty sweet. And you can get one. You can get a pretty nice one for like $5,000.
You're a married man with a kid. Get a Prius and shut up.
Fuck you and your Prius, man.
You'll be his age someday. You can get one then.
Thanks, Jonathan. Hey, wait.
No, when I'm his age, it's going to be so long in the future that I'll have like a hovercraft.
Yeah. Let's see. Besides that, not a whole lot going on, you know, just chilling out, working. Got a raise. That's cool.
Woot.
You know?
That's always
nice to get that email from your boss. Hey, by the way, you got a pay increase.
Travis and I get a raise too then?
Yeah, I'm giving you a 20% raise on what you guys are currently making on the podcast.
Awesome.
How's that work?
That means so we have to pay more.
You. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Damn it. Oh, man.
I expect extra from you guys for the Indusfest fund. speaking of Indusfest.
Well, hey, Jonathan.
Well, I said Jonathan, how you doing?
Oh, we did. Okay. I just figured we...
Did you have anything you wanted to add, Jonathan, since Travis?
I don't have too much. I was traveling over the break and came back and got hit with a fat cold. So still a little
That's
bit under the weather.
Fun.
But
where'd you go?
Better. D.C.
Okay, cool.
There and back, yeah. So
business or pleasure?
Pleasure. Visiting nice. My girlfriend. So
yeah. Oh, there nice. You go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, fortunately got sick after I left. That's better.
Yeah, well, for sure.
Cool. Well, just really quick, there's not much to add about Indusfest. We just keep getting more people that are coming. I mean, now Dale from On Tap, he is officially coming again.
That's great.
And that is
yeah.
really cool. He's bringing a friend along, you know. And but we are up to like 45 people now, and it's crazy how fast it's grown. We still got like it's only 2 months away, but it seems like in that 2 months we're gonna get a shit ton more people, you know. And I've gotten contact with the dude I was talking about last week, one of our buddies that used to work over at Ignition. He doesn't anymore, though. And, yeah, I mean, I think he's coming too. So it's going to be a crowd. And, I think Thursday people are pretty much, if they're going to be here Thursday night, we're pretty much set in stone that we're going to be hitting up my cousin's bakery to do dinner. So that's going to be fun. So guys, Indusfest, November 5th and 6th, get it done. Hey, I got Oats itinerary.
He's coming. I'm still not going to believe he's coming until I see
him. Until you meet the guy, you're not going to believe he's going to be there, right? But yeah. So Indusfest is happening, people. Let's get on
Deuce.
It.
Deuce!
Right, before you guys get off that real quick, I just want to say that's really cool that you guys can do that, have a great community that'll come out and join you guys and do some cool stuff. I know the Gamers with Jobs guys, who I produce their show, they have something called RabbitCon that sounds somewhat similar to what you guys are doing. But, yeah, I mean, that's awesome that you have a community that is totally cool with, like, meeting up and hanging out and playing some games and stuff.
Hey, you want to pimp that real quick, Gamers with Jobs?
I think I just did. I think that's what I just did. I slipped it in. But, yeah, I produce Gamers with Jobs. Check that out. Have a listen. You might like it. So.
Yeah, and we have no problem pimping other people on this show, man. It's not a problem at all. And especially Gamers with Jobs. They're a great podcast, and I love listening to them. So.
And suck at Andridge.
Suck at Andridge, that's right. cool. Well, let's talk about some games. Hey, Jonathan, we always start with the guest. So you are up first. What are you playing this week?
So I've played a few things. They're kind of old at this point. They're from the Summer of Arcade stuff. And I think you guys might have touched on some of these already. But I've been playing some more Lara Croft. Our Lara
nice.
Croft.
Nice.
Lara.
What do you think of it so far? Because I don't think Travis or Chris have.
No, I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, I think it's really great. I like what they're doing with it. I traditionally don't really get into the sort of Diablo clones. I did enjoy a Torchlight quite a bit, but I feel like this is kind of an action take on that. A little bit less loot, maybe, but there's a ton of fun to be had. And I mean, as I said, the action element, this sort of like four-way shooter element of that game, really brings it to a place that I think is more suitable for people who are a little bit bored by the clicking of the other sort of Diablo Fest games. Yeah. Also, I've been playing some Monday Night Combat. I think that game's really great too. That kind of came out of nowhere. I played it at PAX East, and it kind of looked pretty bad. it looks like, I mean, the art style looks kind of like a ripoff of Team Fortress 2 or something.
Yeah.
And at first glance, it seems not that deep, but there's a lot of depth to that game. And along with like Lara Croft, I mean, like, how many times can I say that?
Lara. Yeah, yeah. It's, yeah. We hear it all the time.
Yeah, I think at $15, both of those games are really great. I'm glad that we're seeing that trend of like sort of smaller games.
Is there still a lot of people playing Monday Night Combat online?
Yeah, it seems to be. I don't have any trouble finding games, random games, so there seems to
That's
be
cool.
people playing it.
It's nice to see an Xbox Live Arcade game that has little legs, you know, because most of the time, there's probably not many people playing Castlevania right now. I might be if I had my 360, but I don't, so.
Wait, what happened?
Yeah, how did you... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
when Glenn was in town, I brought my 360 over to Jason's, where I was going to bring it over to Jason's, and I forgot to pick it up, so Jason still has it.
Oh, okay. That might have red ringed on you or something.
No, it didn't red ring. Yeah. I was like, not yet. I still got my fingers crossed for it to red ring soon, because I want an HDMI one, but you know.
True that.
But, yeah, it's cool to see that some of these games are doing well and have some legs to them. What else you got, Jonathan? Anything else?
That's about it. I'm just kind of waiting for Halo Reach at this point.
Speaking of, I just checked out the Xbox Live Marketplace. There's like a pretty big video of the campaign preview, apparently.
Ooh, really?
So I just downloaded it now. It's done. So I'm going to be watching that on break. It's like 300-something megabytes. Pretty big download.
Yeah, they put out a couple of videos highlighting like the sound engineering and stuff like that, and they show quite a bit of gameplay. It looks great. I mean,
yes, I can't wait.
I mean, Halo 3 was pretty awesome, but I was a little disappointed, as I think many were at the time.
Yeah.
Kind of the graphics just weren't technically quite up to snuff. It seems like playing the beta and seeing these new videos, man, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like what Halo 3 probably should have been the first time, but we're all excited, right, Chris?
Absolutely. Hey, I will say this. I am more excited about Reach than any other Halo game.
Well, that's true.
So are we. I mean, come on.
Cool. Well, Jeff, keep talking, man. What are you playing this week?
A lot more Metroid Other M, which, Chris, please tell me you got to play a little bit of it.
I did play some of it, and I'm glad you brought it up. So let's talk about it a little bit.
Very good. So I don't want to talk about it by myself again.
No.
So what do you think? How far are you into? Like an hour or two, maybe?
Probably about 2 hours into it, and I mean, so far I'm enjoying it quite a bit. I actually am not getting the Team Ninja feel at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it feels like a Metroid game, and that's good to me. You know, it feels like a Metroid game. I mean, it's got a few quirks to it, like, you know, sometimes the camera angles are a little funky. Like there are situations where you'll actually be running towards the camera, and there will be enemies in front of you. It's just odd.
You get in the habit of just constantly shooting when you're walking.
Constantly shooting, right? Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if the control scheme was. I mean, I'm sure they thought it out well, and I mean, I like the idea that they're trying to do something new with like pointing the Wiimote at the screen, holding it sideways, and then pointing it at the screen to go into first person. But this game would have been so much better suited for like the classic controller, because sometimes I really feel like I want to play it like a twin stick shooter. Because I want to run one way and shoot behind me or something like that, and you know, as opposed to running at the guys that are 2 inches in front of me and trying to shoot them before they hit me. So there's some quirks here and there that I think they could have done better, but overall, I mean, I'm enjoying myself. You know, it's pretty good. I got through that. I got probably about 10-15 minutes past that first boss fight, and first boss fight was pretty cool. You know, I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I find I'm liking it more and more. The more I play it, one more time. There's one thing. It's kind of annoying. And I'm not sure how much of it you've done so far. You're only a couple hours in, but it's something I think I'm gonna blame more on the Wii, more so than on Team Ninja and the game, because you know when you get to the part where you're forced to go into first person shooter like mode.
Yeah, when they want you to to find something and shoot a missile at it or something like that.
Yeah, do something like that. I find those the most annoying, because it'll be something in the dark or something that's kind of indistinguishable by like a bush. Like, for example, the other night, I was stuck for half an hour at this part where you kill this monster and, you don't kill it. It kills one of your dudes. And there's four other squad members and you're just
spoilers!
Staring at them. It's, those awesome characterized AI you're playing with. Great, great people. But you're staring at the back of their heads, basically. And you can't see the body because it's, like, in front of them. And you're in this first-person mode, and you can't... Like, you're trying to click on stuff, and you can click on every one of those members, but they don't do anything. They just kind of look at you. So I'm looking around. I don't know what the hell I was looking at, so I did the whole thing, like, when you're doing one of those... You know, one of those games where, like, you're at a bar, and it's got the two screens. You got to tell what's different than the other one. And then when you're running out of time, you just hit anywhere on the screen to hope that you find whatever's different.
Right.
Those games I'm talking about. Yeah, so I'm, like, doing that kind of thing with the Wiimote, like, clicking, like, every centimeter on the screen. And anyway, it turns out I was supposed to look at what was supposed to be a splash of green alien blood, but it really looked like a grass texture, because there's grass textures everywhere as well. So I figured there's no point in looking at it, because it's just like the other grass textures. So I don't know if that's, because I think if it was in a higher res, it would have stood out more maybe. but it was pretty
ridiculous.
Yeah,
I get you.
And that's not the only time. That's the longest time I was stuck on something like that, but yeah, it happens kind of often. And some of the level design I find kind of iffy, but other than that, man, I'm really enjoying it. Like, the more I play it, the more I enjoy it, and the less... The storyline's getting less annoying the more I play it as well.
Yeah, that was something else I was going to mention. It just feels like the storyline is kind of... They're throwing too much at you at one time. Because it's like, we know Samus as this, you know, loner that just a loner badass that just doesn't take orders from anybody. And all of a sudden, you've got this backstory of her military career, and she's working with these people that she used to work with then. And it's, I don't know, it's kind of off-putting, you know? And it's not that big of a deal, but it would be less of a deal if they weren't trying to stuff so much of it in your face. So.
Yeah, I can see that. We'll play a little bit more. We'll talk about it next week.
Hopefully,
I'll have it done by then. I think I'm maybe close to halfway. What else I played? Played some... Fuck. What did I play? Played something like multiplayer. I played some Shank. More Shank.
I forgot to mention that last week.
It's starting to get repetitive for me. I can't play it now for more than like 10 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like, I'm going to something else. Because as much as I like it, like the combat in it, and I love the art style... Mm-hmm. And the voice acting and everything, but it's just, you're literally doing the same things over and over and over again.
It doesn't help coming off of Limbo, playing a side-scroller, coming off of a game like that. It doesn't help.
Well, they're not.
They're not the same, I understand, but...
No, it's pacing helps, though, and Limbo's
exactly,
so well-paced.
Yeah, Limbo's very well-paced, that's true. Shank isn't very well-paced, that's true. I got like, through the first boss in Shank, and I really haven't, like, had the large desire to go back to it. I mean, I really enjoyed the fact that, you know, you can get new weapons and, you know, you have basically three different weapons and you can combo everything together. And, you know, I think that's kind of cool. And, you know, like you said, the art style is fantastic, but something's not there. You know, it's not bringing me back to it. And I don't know. I can't, you know, it's like, it's there and it's like, I'd like to play it, but you know, there's other things I'd rather play. So
true that.
Yeah. Jeff, was that you that was talking about it last week as well?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Eric on the Cast Medium podcast, he played it too, and he said he felt like it got really repetitive and really mashy, and felt like it was actually too long. I think last week you were saying that it was
Jason, who's also a part of Interactive Distractions, he's just not on the audio stuff all the time. He beat it in 3 hours, and he said it was too short.
Right.
But he loves that kind of stuff. Like, he loves the whole mashy beat 'em up kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
I guess I'm just kind of, I don't know, I like the kind of stuff, but it just doesn't hold my attention as much as it does. So I could totally see where Eric's coming from then, because if he thought it was too long, I mean, I can only play it like 10 minutes at a time, like I said, so I would be happy if it ends kind of soon, so I can just say, okay, I beat it, got the experience, I can move on.
Yeah, but if 3 hours is too long, there is probably something missing.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong. I mean, there's something to say about that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh man, what else? And of course, gearing up for Reach, I've been playing a little bit of Halo 1, 2, and 3 here and there.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, I put in some, you know, Halo 1, played some Truth and Reconciliation. Freaking love that level.
That is
one of the best levels ever.
Yeah.
And some random levels here and there from 2 and 3. But other than that, man, that's it for my week.
Cool. Travis, talk to me.
More Madden. I played Asian 619.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it. I won. I just don't want to talk about it. But he put up a good fight. Put up a good fight. Way better than Hat Man. I mean,
that's surprising.
Love you, Hat Man. Plugging through Valkyria Chronicles 1 slowly but surely. I'm on like I get a new chapter every 3 days. Like, I spend 2 days like doing skirmishes and leveling up my characters.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then on the third day, I'll jump in and, you know, knock out a chapter.
Mission. So where are you right now in the story? What chapter are you on?
Chapter 12.
Okay. You're getting
chapter
there.
12.
Cool.
And I got a question real quick on I still haven't got my scouts to where they have the grenade launchers yet. Do I just have to level them up via training? Like, or do I have to upgrade their guns to get the grenade launcher?
Oh shit.
Because I don't know what to put more stock into right now.
Well, I was upgrading their shit as I went. I mean, whenever something unlocked, I was upgrading it.
Right.
As far as like when you get the upgrades, I thought it was only it was only with level. I can't really remember. Right. It's been a while.
Well, what level makes them elite status?
I thought it was 11.
Okay, well, it might be
higher then.
I'm right there. See, I wasn't putting much stock. Like, I was kind of leveling up everybody, like, the same pace.
Okay.
So, like, I had everybody at, like, around a level 9, and I was like, okay, well, even, like, everybody equal, I still had my scouts were the best. I'm like, okay, what if I just, like, leveled up my scouts maxed out and said piss on everybody else, and I started doing that. Now I'm, like, 4,000 experience away from my, which is not very much in Valkyria Chronicles, away from 11. So if that is okay. the line, then I'm about to cross it. So that's very,
okay,
very cool.
Okay, cool. Yeah. For reference, I try and keep my scouts, like, one or two levels ahead of everybody else because they are such a useful class. They are like,
that's
they are easily
at
the most
right
useful
now.
Class.
Yeah, I'm there right now. So, okay, cool. Plugging away slowly but surely. Hopefully when they get beefed up with the grenade launchers, I can just fly through this game because I really, really, really want Valkyria 2. So I said Madden, Valkyria Chronicles, Dragon Quest 9 on the DS. I'm still plugging. I need to put this to the side and finish Valkyria because I always keep on going back to Dragon Quest. It's just really good. Like 13, 14 hours into it, and it is really, really good. I'm enjoying
cool.
it. And then the coup de grace, the big thing this week. I've been all about it on Twitter. I even started a thread. The Mass Effect DLC, the Lair of the Shadow Broker. I'm not going to talk about it too much, but because
it's $10, right?
Yeah, $10.
Okay.
I would have paid a little more for it. It's so good. It is perfectly priced though. It's perfectly priced.
See, Tess, $10, and that's about 3 hours. Shank's $15.
Yeah, go figure.
And Mass Effect is a better game.
has everybody played Mass Effect here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Mass Effect 2. Well, okay, guys, I have no clue how this was not like a part of the retail package, a part of the overall story, because the things that happen towards the end of this DLC are so massive. It's going to completely change the shape or the direction which Mass Effect 3 is going to go.
Huh. Really?
Massive.
It's pretty late in the DLC cycle, so obviously it's probably something they just didn't have finished. But outside of that, I mean, if the changes or the effects are that massive, does this stuff carry over into the next game? Does the DLC carry over?
It has to. You don't make any... This is kind of my theory. You don't make any rash decisions that change the overall plot of what happens and how the game ends. You don't make any decisions there. It's just whatever happens, happens. But, so that's why I'm thinking that it will carry over. But my questioning is, I mean, DLC, all DLC is optional.
Yeah.
So Mass Effect 3 is going to happen, and this huge thing has already happened. If you didn't play the DLC, you're like, when did this happen? You know,
I saw it. It's like all a dream, and that nearly never existed.
No, it better not happen like that because it. I love the direction it's taking, and I can't say any more for that. You know, on the story part of it, but you know, my only gripe, it is very, very, very combat heavy. There's maybe about three big combat areas where it's just kind of like, you know, they have their versions of monster closets, but it's in a form of drop ships and they just keep on coming and keep on coming. There's a lot of that. You know, a lot of the skirmishes, you hear me say skirmishes. but a lot of the fights, yeah, I'm like, okay, is it over yet? Is it over yet? They really, really plow on. And I think they're just doing that to justify the price and make the DLC a little longer.
Artificial.
They didn't have to do that. It wasn't necessary. Yeah, it was very artificial. They do a lot of cool stuff with investigating. There's a lot of throwbacks to Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2. One of my favorite things about this, it is legitimately funny. I'm talking laugh out loud funny. They have so many inside jokes from the previous two games. You will crack up laughing. It's really, really good.
Where does this take place then? Like, I mean, when you access the content, is this supposed to take place after like you beat this, the completion of the second game, or is it, can you access it any time while you're playing the second game?
I'm gonna say it's the end of the game. You have to wait till you beat the game. I say that because, Liara, the way she talks to you, it's post-collectors.
Okay.
So it seems like you would have to beat the game for this to open up, and it just pops open in your terminal.
So you basically played it afterwards when you're done. So.
Yes.
I wonder if you can access Enid at all if you haven't beaten the game.
It's honestly
very possible that the way she speaks to you will be different if you haven't beaten the game.
It's very possible because BioWare did that for damn near the entire game.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And they're good at that. I will have to say, though, I still think it would be after the game's over. But that being said, after it's all said and done, you know, final boss is done, story is completed, there's still a whole nother place to explore, and it's almost like it's a whole nother area to explore, and you're going to have so much stuff to look at, information to go through. I mean, it's really, really cool that after the DLC, you're going to have so much stuff, and it even tells you, come back after you've gone and done some other stuff, and there's even more stuff. So on top of that 3 hours of gameplay, you have stuff to constantly go back to. So if they release more DLC...
Scanning planets!
Actually, they do give you a few more planets to scan.
Yes.
Thank God. At least they made the scanner work better.
Yeah. But that's the DLC, guys. Get it. If you're a huge Mass Effect fan, there is absolutely... This is a must-buy.
Wait for the PS3 version.
I was just going to say... I'm thinking about double-dipping when the PS3 version comes out for this game.
The DLC and all the weapons and stuff?
Yeah, I think I might. It'd be worth it. This is what I mean, considering how much I loved the game when I played it.
So then what do you do when 3 comes out? Do you double dip again?
Maybe.
No, I was going to say,
you're gonna have that one character that went through 1, 2, mm-hmm. and then 3, but you're going to only be 2.
You're going to want to stick with your 360 character.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the 360 version either way for that.
Yeah. Cool deal. Well, that is all for me.
All right, cool. Well, I've only got one other thing to talk about, and that's Valkyria Chronicles 2.
Woot.
And I'm currently 15 hours into this game now.
Wow.
I'm 15 hours in, and I'm on chapter 3.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's just to say how many, like other missions there are.
But an average person would be at, chapter 11 at that point.
Right? Well, I don't know. It depends on, you know, how completionist they are. But, you know, I know that for me, I enjoy making sure I finish all of the available missions to me before I go on and do the story missions.
Mm-hmm.
And for this game, it's like, Travis, you get like one, in the first one, you get like one skirmish like every other chapter or something like this. In this one, in February alone, there's probably like 8 free missions that you can do.
Wow.
So there's a lot more missions that you can do in this game. I've started opening up some of the alternate classes. I changed one of my shock troopers to be a gunner. And she gets this big-ass machine gun, and the machine gun shoots off 50 shots, and it's kind of like the flamethrower in the first one where she just arcs, and it's an area of effect thing.
Nice.
And Lancer goes down in 2 headshots. It's pretty awesome. So that's pretty cool. And I've run into some... I'm on the story mission in March right now, and I've run into some pretty badass guys that are walking around with Valkyria lances that are just kicking my ass right now.
Sweet.
So, but yeah, I'm going to come out and say that I am enjoying this game more than the first one. I didn't think I would, but the PSP game, I was worried about it at first, but they did so much to make it feel right that I am enjoying myself with this game more than the first one. And it's just because there's so much more to do. It feels so much more accessible because the missions are they're all bite-sized. And, you know, it just feels better. You know, I don't know why. And
I was going to ask about that because I think a lot of people were probably worried when they heard the second one was moving from PS3 to PSP, if it's going to be dumbed down at all or anything like that, but it doesn't sound like it.
No, it's not dumbed down at all. The gameplay is all there. The only thing dumbed down is the visuals, and that's it. And even that is not that big of a deal because, I mean, I'll tell you what, when you see some of the tanks in that game, it still looks fucking fantastic. I mean, it's no PS3 quality, of course, but, you know, you get into that game and it doesn't matter anymore, man, because you're so focused on completing your mission and that kind of shit that you don't even notice that you're playing it on a PSP anymore.
Yeah, and the art style probably lends itself pretty well to lower polys and stuff like that.
Exactly. It actually, it's got that watercolor-ish cell shading look, and the whole canvas engine just works really well for the PSP as well. I mean, there are like some of the characters you'll be able to see the lower polygon count, and I mean there's a couple where the textures just kind of look weird. There's one guy that looks like a clown. His face looks like a clown because he's got like Band-Aids all over it and shit. But
It's very Japanese.
Right. No doubt. But yeah, seriously, overall, it's just fantastic. I am just loving the shit out of it. And the other thing that I was going to mention is that, like, Travis, you know, the in the first one, there's certain characters that get, like, special missions that are, like, they're kind of distinctive to that character. Have you run into any of those? Like, Largo has the vegetable one. I don't know what the hell, I don't remember
that. Vegetables.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So they have similar things like that in this one. Awesome. It's like, but
if they say it like that, yeah, it's gotta be.
And he does too. But in this one, it works a little bit differently because you'll get like a special mission where it's you and one other person and that's it. And
I like those missions. VC1 had a lot of those. You know, of those missions where it's like only a few people, and they were really, really cool. So I dig that. I really smell what you stepped in.
Yeah. So. What the hell? But yeah, so they have those, and you know, there's just an overabundance of missions in this game, and it's really nice. Travis, the only drawback I'm going to say that you might have is that, you know, we were talking about variety and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas the variety from mission to mission is there, the maps are reused quite a bit.
Really?
So, yeah, I've run into like the map that's on the demo. One of the maps on the demo is the silo map, and I've run into that probably 4 or 5 times. It's really not that big of a deal in my opinion, and you know, it's only because I'm only a few chapters in. It's like right now, the story mission I'm doing right now is 3 maps I've never seen before. So it's, I doubt it's going to be a situation where the maps that I've played in the first 3 chapters are the only ones I'm ever going to see.
Yeah.
But, there are some that are repeated. So
I don't want to go into Valkyria Chronicles too much anymore, 'cause I know we do talk a lot about it, but, to keep it real with you, real talk right now. After chapter 11, the one where you're storming the beach and you have to shoot the smoke rounds and everything, that point I was like, I kind of wish I would get some similar missions to what I've played already, because it's getting a little, like, the variety. It's like, okay, because I guess because I'm trying to hurry through the game so much, it's like, okay, now everything's different. I have to relearn new stuff every mission now. It's like, okay, give me some old stuff. So I don't think it's going to bother me as much as you probably would think it would.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You're going to run into some cool shit coming up soon, though.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hey, did anyone try the God of War demo?
I have it, but I haven't tried it.
I have it, yeah, but I didn't put it in yet.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's funny too. I'm with you on this one, Jeff. It's like, you know, God of War, and I'm not even that excited about it. You know, it's like, God of War is coming out. It's like, great.
Yeah. Well, I didn't play Chains of Olympus, so I'm actually a little bit intrigued. Yeah.
Chains of Olympus was good. The thing is, actually, I was going to pick up Kingdom Hearts too, because I've never played a Kingdom Hearts game, and new one's getting really good reviews.
God, I want that.
But I can't find a PSP now or my DS now anywhere, and I don't know where the hell they are.
I stole it. I told you. I don't know why you don't believe me when I was up
there. I was wondering why you have two PSPs now.
Well, it's
hocked. Where'd you get that other one?
I hocked it. So
the one I thought my PSP, I thought it was in my other gym bag for the longest time. Then yesterday, I'm like, oh yeah, I got the Ghost of Sparta thing. I'm gonna try it, and then I couldn't find it. And it's like, screw this.
Yeah.
So I'm sad panda.
Well, I appreciate the PSP though. I got my word coach.
Nice.
I'm trying to improve my speaking on the podcast. I'm tired of saying everything is super sweet. And amazing. I want to say other things like it's
nice.
See, I don't know. See, I need help. See, anyway.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's all I've got. So, why don't we jump right into news? You guys have anything that you want to mention in news?
You got some stuff. Yeah, Jonathan, you want to lead things off here? You had a couple good ones?
Yeah, I had a couple things. First up, I guess Duke Nukem Forever. I think this deserves some attention. Yeah. It hasn't had enough in the time it's been developed. So,
In the last like 12, 13 years.
Exactly. But it is certainly notable now. Big news coming out of PAX that Gearbox is basically bought out the rights to the franchise and the character and stuff, and they're finishing up whatever 3D Realms had done with the game in that time. Can't have been that much, I guess. But they're a good studio, so certainly they should be able to finish it up. So I'm kind of one of those guys that is a classic PC gamer. I've kind of shifted over to the consoles with everybody else over time. But I was a big PC gamer, and when that was announced, I was really super pumped about it and sort of probably stayed more pumped than most about it. I think it's pretty cool to see, especially a developer like Gearbox, who's had some recent successes with like Borderlands and stuff like that. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely a proven developer at this point. So
they're risk takers.
Of anyone to take it over, I think they're kind of a good house to take it. I mean, especially considering they kind of like that sort of juvenile, tongue-in-cheek humor as well.
Maybe that idea?
And Randy Pitchford, I think, didn't he have something to do with the first one, the first Duke Nukem?
Yeah, apparently he actually was responsible for the first two levels of Duke Nukem 3D or something like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's definitely had some experience with the franchise.
I don't think there's any way in hell it would possibly live up to its expectations, though.
Yeah, it can't at this point. But I said this on the Cast Medium podcast as well, but those guys have a reputation at this point of putting out games of at least a certain quality.
Oh,
so
for sure.
I can't imagine they would put out complete and utter shit at this point.
No, not at all.
Well, apparently, like, you know, what made Duke Nukem, like, so, you know, out there when, you know, back in the 90s was that he was so vulgar and he said those snarky comments. Well, I think Gearbox was starting to understand that, hey, we just can't spurt out one-liners and everybody love this game. Let's make the game good, but for the things that are vulgar or the mature things, you know, that we're going for, they kind of make all the vulgar stuff interactive. Like, apparently, I didn't see any video of it, but apparently a couple of things that are of note, like the playable demo at PAX started off with him, like, peeing in a urinal. Yeah. And you just move the sticks around. He's, like, controlling where the pee goes. And then other things like, in the beginning, you're about to go out into the football field to fight the big alien, kind of like where the last game kind of ended. Yeah. A lot of the guys are like at the drawing board, this chalkboard, and they're like writing down what they're doing. And obviously you can take the chalk and you can draw whatever you want on it. So apparently some people were caught like drawing penises and everything already on the chalkboard.
Course.
So yeah. They're making it a little more interactive so you can be as vulgar as Duke, which has been interesting.
It's been the Duke MO forever, sort of interactivity. So it's cool to hear that stuff is carrying over. How about Chris and Jeff? You guys interested in this at all?
I'm interested for sure. Like, I love Duke Nukem 3D, like, on the PC. I had it for the Saturn as well. I played a hell of a lot, and I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't have high expectations, but I do have expectations. I do expect it to be at least decent. So, especially now the Gearbox is handling it, because like you said, they have a reputation to put out quality stuff. So,
the fact that Gearbox is working on it now makes me more interested in it. Like, before, it was like, okay, so it's Duke Nukem. You know, I'm not a huge first-person shooter guy, so, you know, I probably won't be that interested, but I did love me some Borderlands. And, you know, I know this isn't going to be that much similar, but I am interested to see what they do with it.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Should be cool. Sure.
What else we got?
I can also bring up, I had one other thing. I know you guys don't touch on the sort of phone gaming stuff that much, but Apple is sort of the dominant player in that space right now, and they've come out with their sort of Xbox Live equivalent Game Center. It just hit today, actually.
Have you messed with it yet?
I haven't. Unfortunately, I'm still on a 3G, and it's only 3GS and up. So,
it's iOS 4, right? You have to...
Yeah, have to have iOS 4, which I have, but you also have to have 3GS hardware or 4G hardware. So, or iPhone 4 hardware. So I am unfortunately precluded from enjoying that. But from what I've heard, it sounds like a pretty good implementation. Sounds like they still have some things to sort of put in there, but it's cool that this is happening on sort of a phone handheld system here.
Yeah.
Even the PSP and DS don't have these
no,
sort of
right.
systems.
No, and I think the iPhone is a bona fide platform for gaming now. I mean, I watched the press conference as well for Apple when, you know, they unveiled what you're speaking of, and like, it's... of course, they start off with numbers. Like, we sold this many games, and it was like in the millions, and I'm like, oh my God, like... They make
so
much
money.
Of
those are 99-cent games too. I mean,
but
you gotta
still,
take that into
like
account.
I mean, they are doing a great, great job with that platform. I mean, we can hate it being console gamers and handheld gamers for like the PSP and DS. It's easy to say, okay, yeah, well, it's the iPhone, but they make some good stuff, man. There's some fun things on there. Have you played Galcon? Come on.
Yeah. There's stuff on there for sure.
There's plenty of stuff on there. And I think the addition of multiplayer, friends list, achievements, everything like that is great. And even like what Epic showed was kind of, I mean, it's ambitious, but it's interesting that they can at least show the power of what the iPhone can do. I wouldn't throw it away. I mean, I'm Android for life, but I mean, I wouldn't poo-poo on what they're doing with that platform.
Yeah, I think it's just, cool. I think the main thing is it's just cool that the infrastructure is there for any developer that wants to sort of utilize it as Xbox Live is. So.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
I've got a couple things I'm going to throw out there. One thing that happened is recently is that they finally confirmed that The Last Guardian is actually going to be at TGS, which
is that confirmed?
Yes.
Okay.
So hype.
So we finally get to see it. I'm wondering if they'll actually have gameplay or anything like that, and actually or have it playable.
Oh, they better at this point.
Yeah,
I know it's been a couple of years since they did the first videos of it, and
yeah.
You know, everybody is
looking
forward to this
soon,
game.
Next thing you know, Gearbox going to be handling it. So.
The other thing is, I'm not sure how interested you guys are, but I know there's a lot of people out there that really loved this game for the DS, and it's getting a PSP remake, and that is Knights in the Nightmare from Atlus. And they just said, just released a couple hours ago, that if you pre-order Knights in the Nightmare, you get Yggdrasil Union for free. So that's pretty cool, too. I've been looking into Knights in the Nightmare for a while, so I might be jumping on that.
Yeah, I just saw that pop up on the Twitters before we jumped on Skype.
The Twitters. Yes,
yeah,
so that's pretty cool news, too.
Nice.
You guys have anything?
I got a couple, Travis. Go ahead.
I have a feeling you're going to drop something big on us, so go ahead, man.
No, you go first.
Okay, fine, whatever.
you kind of
might be that way.
Trust me.
Fine. So anyway, Dead Rising Case Zero came out, and pretty much it was just a demo, but it's a demo that has its own storyline, it's canon with the Dead Rising universe, and it's a good intro into the game that lets you know, okay, this is how the game's going to play. It's not set in Vegas, it's just giving you an idea of what it's going to be like, of course. I mean... And apparently everybody and their mama got it because it sold over 300,000 copies at, how much was it? Was it $10 a pop?
$5.
$5.
Yeah,
why
$5.
Have I not gotten this yet? So,
because you realize it's a demo?
It's a demo for $5.
But, okay, so I'm already guessing that you guys are not digging this.
I think it's cool. I think it's cool. It's just, if they don't come out, because they're obviously not coming out with a demo for the game. I highly doubt it. But I guess you can just download the trial of the demo they're charging money for.
Right.
I haven't played it, so I'm not going to judge, but to me it looks like they're putting out a demo that they're charging $5 for.
Well, it's exactly that, because apparently it's uber short, but like,
right.
Guys, if you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I think the people voted with their wallet on this one, and we might see this happen a lot more than what
you know what? I don't dislike it that much, because I do like the fact that it is in a different setting.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a way of saying, well, here's some, you know, preview content of what the game's going to be like, and we're going to put it in an entirely different setting. So it's kind of a demo, but kind of not, you know? I mean, at least they priced it for $5 and
you can,
not
like, save
15
your game
or something
and stuff
like that.
And do different run throughs and stuff and like score chase kind of thing. So it does give you more than a demo, but I would still rather not pay $5 to get a good taste of what a game is I'm going to be spending $60 on in a couple weeks rather than spend $5 and, you know, I mean, the first demo for the first one was pretty good, pretty long.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I didn't pick it up just because I'm not the hugest Dead Rising fan, but I think it is kind of cool what they're doing with this because, it is separate, completely separate content. It does lead into the main game. You can save, you can import all your stats, and there is a persistent level.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
so you can level up in zero and then import that into two?
Yes, sir.
You can do that.
That's pretty cool.
Are there achievements?
There must be because it's
I would think so, yeah.
It's technically a downloadable game, right?
Yeah,
that's true.
It has to be 200 points of achievements.
So,
all right, it's looking a little bit better.
I might have to pick that up.
$5. I mean, $5, that's cheaper than anything on XBLA.
Yeah, that's true.
This is pretty robust.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, for sure. All right, I'll give it a try. Fuck you guys.
I'm down on it.
Screw you guys.
Oh, man. Might as well get right into the Goose show for 5 reasons you're a sucker.
Yeah. 5 reasons you're a sucker.
Yeah.
Number 1, Final Fantasy 13.
Oh. I got 2 ones. One really quick. Oddworld Stranger's Wrath is getting...
Oh, yeah. PS3 remake, right?
Yeah, they're getting the PS3 remake on PSN, which is awesome for two reasons. One, not a lot of people played the first one because it came out like really late in the Xbox life cycle.
I loved it.
Yeah. Nice. And it's not backwards compatible. And if you can find one, well, good luck. So this is really cool because they give people a chance to play it. And it's a really good game. It's not really like the other Oddworld games, though. It's not like platforming. It's more of like first-person adventure, I guess. Shooter-adventure type thing.
Hmm.
Cool beans. But my big one, though, Microsoft announced two things today. I don't know if you guys saw it or yesterday. One, they're having a Kinect 250-gig bundle.
Oh, nice.
I saw that. Also, the Brain Age games are going to be coming out for Kinect. So, you know, you can sit there and make your brain grow while you're waving at your TV screen, you know, and standing in front of it.
I saw that. It's from the professor at Tokyo University that did the original Brain Age games. He's doing these sort of similar sort of games for Kinect. Yeah. It's a good thing for Microsoft. If it's the same sort of thing, hopefully it'll hit the same sort of market.
Possibly. But personally, though, Jonathan, what do you think personally?
I'm actually kind of pumped about Kinect. I don't know. Like I hadn't picked up one of those new 360s
Jonathan,
yet.
Jonathan, you're not going to like us in about 5 seconds, man.
Am I on the wrong podcast?
Basically, what we're trying to say is who
gives a shit?
Fell into that one, I guess. I should have listened.
We were kind of hoping that you were going
to
say meh.
We haven't done that in a while. So
I know it's been a while since we've done it, but I was going to lead in with like, oh, I hope they have like spelling, and then they can make you like draw it on with your finger, and you can write out who gives a shit.
Oh, that would have been a good one. I like that. Man. Rewind. Re-edit this.
Yeah.
Let's
edit that out.
Don't
no,
worry, I'll put it in post. It's all right.
Okay.
Welcome to our longest news segment in about 6 months.
I know. Cool. Well, let's take a break.
Let's do it.
All right, cool. When we come back, we're going to talk about pricing of gaming and when it just gets to be too much. And then we'll do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, my boy. It's time to wake up.
You're listening to episode 145 of Interactive Distractions. This episode may not have a lot of the gaga, but there is a flatulent Canadian, so check it out. It's the podcast equivalent of a girl that's really, really pretty after about 5 beers.
And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Today, we asked you the question, at what point does gaming get too expensive? And we have answers. So I'm going to pass it over to Mr. Travis, and he's going to read some
emails
for
you. Lose your job.
Hey. Haven't really wrote to you guys for quite some time now. Been really busy with work and all. Just wanted to point out something in my opinion. As of its current state, I don't really think that gaming is getting too expensive. Back in the NES days, there were games that amounted to $100, and $100 was much, much more back then. Well, on to your questions. Games may become expensive if they'll continue with what some companies are doing today, with us paying for stuff that are already included in the game or on the disc. Although it's optional, sometimes it doesn't really feel that you purchased the whole game itself without the stuff other people are getting. Just like Blaze Blue, correct me if I'm wrong, but as far as I understand, you need to purchase the 13th character on it. I'm just scared that this might happen in the long run, that you need to pay for every character that should be included, or worse yet, to buy a last stage of a game when it's the true ending. I hope that I was able to point out what I wanted. Keep up the good work. P.S. Where are the pictures that I've been asking from Be Wrong? Actually, I will get those to you shortly. I keep on forgetting. I'm sorry.
Oh, right. I forgot we needed to get those to him.
Yeah.
I was
going
to mention that, and I totally didn't.
Pictures,
anyway, that's a like, sidetrack. We'll get to that later.
Real quick, I am the guest here, but I want to chime in first. Travis, this kind of harkens back to what you were talking about Mass Effect 2, about what you consider to be an integral part of the story being left off.
Yeah, you brought
and purchasable as DLC.
Yeah, right? you brought up a good point. It's just it kind of makes it, for me, it just kind of makes it moot because it's so good. But you're absolutely right. You know, my question was, why wasn't this part of the retail disc? And you said it right. This was probably something they originally planned, but they didn't have time to complete it and put it in the game.
Right.
If that's the case, this is exactly what we're talking about. It's just that
it's a little different. Blaze Blue, this character is available like day one. And I think it was $12 or $10 to buy mm-hmm. Makoto. And I didn't buy her, but people who have, it kind of sucks because, like, you can still fight against her, stuff like that, but it's just, that's something I definitely think should have been on the disc when mm-hmm. it's available pretty much day one and it's another character. Like, mind you, Blaze Blue Continuum Shift was only $40. So, but then again, so was Super Street Fighter 4, and that gave, like, how many new characters and didn't do that stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, to go back to what you were asking, Jonathan, like, you know, it is really, really good, and it's a decent size, you know, this a decent piece of DLC. For the price, $10, not too much. I'm really happy with paying things, you know, that are $10 or less on Xbox Live, so that's not an issue for me. If this was a $15 downloadable content, then we would probably... I mean, even though I did say in the beginning that I would have paid more, but yeah, this would be more of an issue if it was maybe $15. But for $10, I think that's
so for
really,
you, it's
really
more
sweet
the price,
spot.
Not the principle?
It's hard to say because this was really, really good. This is like my favorite DLC I've probably ever purchased.
Well, here's the question. If you did not know about this content, let's put it this way. If you did not know about this content and the game came out was at $70, would it have been an issue for you?
Yeah.
Right. And that's kind of I think that's the attitude is, you know, they'd rather keep the price as a $60 and then put DLC out there because the DLC is now optional. And you're keeping everybody happy.
Right.
You know? I'm okay with that approach because, you know, I love Mass Effect. I haven't bought any of the DLC yet. Well, not because I don't want to. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Right.
But that's the thing. If I don't get around to it, then I don't get around to it and I don't spend the money on it. And, you know, I feel like it's better for me if they're not, if they're like charging for extra content on the side rather than include it and I never get to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I feel it. I feel it.
Yeah. I guess just the main point here is, Travis, how much you stress that this is really important to the storyline and it's really an integral part of the game.
Right.
I mean, that makes it kind of important in a way. And that makes you kind of feel like with DLC, no DLC should be too great or too impactful. Because if you have to pay for that after the fact, you know, and
after the fact, I think is the key word, because I think it also really helps to have something so what I think is integral, but to come out, what is it, 6 or 7 months post release, that also softens the blow, of spending the money for it as well.
But you said because it could have tied into the main storyline, but then you look at something like Fallout, which had a bunch of DLC, none of it had really anything to do with the main storyline, and it was every single piece of that was, except for the what?
One did. One continued the story.
Okay, one continued the story, but the rest of them were all in totally different environments
that
you, like, basically never saw before, which, so that's kind of a different, I think that's easier to swallow for a lot of gamers, as opposed to, like, I don't say anything wrong with the Mass Effect 2 thing, either, because, I mean, I don't know, I really want to try this now, I really want to see how much this ties into the main storyline, and, like you said, like, if it really is.
Yeah.
Something that should have been in there in the first place, but
I think it definitely should have. I'm gonna have to try it.
I might download that tonight then or tomorrow.
Great.
One thing that B-Rong said that worries me, because I've actually heard this in like other news reports too, is like developers thinking about charging for like the last stage of a game. And you know, that's the kind of shit that would just piss me off. You know, I mean, it's I really hope they don't get around to doing
like
that.
Prince
because I have heard what's that?
Prince of Persia, the new
did they do that?
The cel shaded one.
Yeah,
you didn't really see the ending unless you bought the DLC that came out like a month later.
No shit.
The endings
altered the ending. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And they basically finished off the story or something.
Yeah,
I didn't get it.
It was pretty dirty. It was pretty dirty.
Shitty.
I was worried about what you were saying, Chris. I was worried about that with the Alan Wake DLC, but that also ended up being pretty good as well, which, Jeff, I'm disappointed you haven't played yet.
Oh, the only reason I haven't is because my code that I had, okay, the email I had tied to my Xbox Live account, I have not used in forever.
Okay.
So I guess it deactivated. So random times came when people were starting getting their codes for it.
Right.
I went to my Hotmail account and I'm like, oh, would you like to reactivate? I'm like, yes. But the problem is it doesn't save anything that's been sent to you since it's been deactivated. So I basically got to just call Microsoft or something and see if I can get like another code, because that's the only reason why I haven't.
Yeah. I got to say, you are missing out if you don't play it. It was pretty good.
Pretty good shit.
Yeah.
I still have to play that too. I heard it was pretty combat heavy though.
It is very combat heavy. But it's weird because the DLC kind of rectifies what I thought was monotonous with the constant combat, which I know Jeff kind of disagrees with me, but it does, to me, the monotony kind of caught up with me and killed with my general mood of Alan Wake. But the DLC, they end up taking risks with combat. They add so many different things. I'm like, why is this not in the retail disc? And that's almost in a bad way, not compared to like, you know, Mass Effect was so good wise, and this is so good, and the retail was so monotonous with Alan Wake. Why is this not? They didn't try this stuff on there. It's like they were wanting to be experimental, but not with their retail retail product. And that kind of disappointed me, because the DLC is very, very good, and that's like $7 if you didn't buy the game. So that's even cheaper. Yeah. So.
Sorry, I've taken this on a tangent here.
Oh no, that's our style, baby.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Well, so let's get on track with another email. Our buddy Sean Recupido chimes in and says, "When does gaming become too expensive for me? I think we are at the tipping point right about now. $60 is just too much for most games. Obviously, he doesn't live in Canada. The only games I pay $60 for is for sports games and games like To Halos that I know I will play pretty much every night for about 3 years. I usually wait for a price drop to at least $40 before I consider buying most games. But if Amazon offers gaming credit like they often do, I might just force my hand to pay $60. I'm in college right now, working part-time, so I really do not have much time to spend on games." I think
we're all going to go the same place with this one.
Are we going to go the Gamefly route, pretty much?
I wasn't going to say that. If this is the tipping point, it's a good thing that you weren't a gamer before the PlayStation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because everything was more expensive then. And, you know,
But how many games were you buying back then, though?
I was buying a lot of games.
I was buying a lot of games, too. Only because really? When I was in college, I worked at a game store. So I was buying a shit ton of stuff.
Well, you were in college, though. Were you still playing cart-based consoles?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was in college,
Dude, how is that possible?
N64 was in RAM.
Well, I guess 64, those are still expensive.
Well, dude, 94, the PS2. PlayStation didn't come out until 95. I started college in 94.
That's right, you're an old motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm an old motherfucker.
That kind of makes
sense. Yes, I appreciate that. My wife likes to remind me of that every once in a while.
But at most, you were buying N64 games, though.
And N64 games, I didn't buy a lot of those.
They were expensive as hell.
Yeah, they were expensive as hell. But, like, I mean, I didn't buy it then, but, you know, Phantasy Star 4, you know, if I would have been as into Phantasy Star then as I am now, I would have paid $100 for that game, because that's how much it was retail when it came out.
Yeah, those carts were expensive sometimes.
Oh, God,
no doubt.
I mean, Strider, the first 8-meg game was like $100 here in Canada.
Phantasy Star 1 was apparently that much.
Yeah, Sega Master System. Insane. Yep.
But, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. What were you going to say, Travis?
I was just going to say I was too busy playing King's Quest at that time. Way too busy.
No, you mentioned Gamefly. What were you going to say?
Gamefly. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, for Sean's predicament, if he's not in that, I mean, you work part-time, you're a student, Gamefly is your best friend, without a doubt. And it's not too expensive. Sometimes you have to wait on some of the games. So if you have a backlog, Gamefly is perfecto. That is what
you want. Or even Blockbuster at this point, because I hear they're doing games now too.
They're doing games now too, and they, you know, announced bankruptcy, and now they're officially announcing that they're closing pretty much most of their stores.
They may have a fire sale soon.
Fire sale.
Right.
Ooh, I can't wait. But it's bittersweet. So I get to take part in the fire sale, but I also do the Game Pass, the in-store Game Pass, which to me is way better than Gamefly, because I can go on Tuesday and pick up any game I want in the store, and if I don't like it, I swap it out for another game, and it's perfect. I love it, and it's such a shame that it's going to be going away from me, and I have to stick with online, because, you know what, I make a pretty good living. My wife does too. We live pretty comfortably, but I am getting to the age where I still want to play a lot of games. I want to play all the hotness that all the kids are playing, but I can't keep spending $60 or $80 when it's a special edition. I can't keep doing this. So I need to, you know, especially when Blockbuster's gone, I have to resort to something. And it's not going to be buying every single game. I got to be smart with my cash. So I would just tell Sean to at least go with that if you're not doing it already. Killer.
So, killer?
Yeah.
Do it, yeah. Killer.
So on that note...
Sorry.
Our good buddy Better Tomorrow chimes in and says, "Hey, guys, this was a great topic of the week, one that I could rant on for hours, but I will try to contain myself." He says he will try, but hold on to your coal mining asses. This is a long one. You know what really grinds my gears? People who look at a game, any game really, and sees the $60 or $70 price tag and say, "Wow, games are really expensive nowadays." Or even worse, "I remember when games were way cheaper." You guys, of course, know that opinion is just flat out wrong. In fact, as anyone who was born before 1997 knows, games have never been cheaper than they are now. When I was a young lad growing up in a small Ontario town, new games for my Super Nintendo came but once or twice a year, usually on birthdays and Christmas. Why? Because they could sometimes cost upwards to $110 a piece. My brother and I once scraped and saved to go halfsies on a copy of Uniracers that cost us 90 clams. Wow. Then when I got older and graduated to the PS1 and later the PS2, games have become slightly cheaper, but were still pretty pricey. I still remember buying Fatal Frame for $74.99 and Silent Hill 2 for $79.99. And before I even had a PS2, I bought Resident Evil Code Veronica on sale at the low, low price of $54.99. And these games were purchased. Dude. At discount stores like Walmart and Zellers.
What?
Not to mention,
I need to ask Better Tomorrow because he's Canadian as well. And when I worked for EB Games, Xbox games and PS2 games are $49.99 brand new, like towards the end of it. Because that was the big whole price hike when this gen came around. They're like, games are going to be $60 now. So I don't know where you were shopping.
Yeah, because Microsoft, Microsoft well, and Sony actually, both said that, came out and said that. Yeah, because PS1 was when gaming was cheapest because games were $50 at the most.
Yeah.
And same
Final
with
Fantasy VII was not that expensive when it came out.
No, it was $50, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, $50. Yeah. Sounds right.
I bought that with like allowance money. It was not expensive at all.
I remember paying like $80 for Chrono Trigger on the Super NES, man.
Oh my god, yes, that was expensive.
I'm sorry, continue.
Alright. Not to mention most games that don't start with the words Call of seem to drop in price fairly quickly nowadays. Right now, you can buy a brand new copy of Mass Effect 2, a game that was and still is well worth the original price tag. But you can see it for $30, and it's not even been out a year yet. Of course, I know it can be debated what games should be and what price because of how much content, but that's another discussion entirely, and I will not get into it. I'm sure that other people would disagree with my opinions in this email, but that's fine. But in my very own humble little opinion, I think this generation has given us the best bang for our gaming buck so far. I can't even imagine a world without Xbox Live and PSN. How I was ever able to turn on my Xbox or PS2 without checking to see what's new on the marketplace, what friends are online, or what achievements or trophies have unlocked. It does seem kind of weird. I guess the consoles themselves seem to be the only part of the gaming experience that has gotten more expensive. If you buy one at launch, they cost two or three times as much and usually don't last as long. But it's like any other technology, phones, televisions, computers. The more intricate they become, the shorter their lifespan. And that's just the way the cookie crumbles, and we gotta accept it, I guess. Except the 3DO, that was $700. Ouch. So, if you ask me, gaming is too expensive, my answer probably has to be, well, not anymore. Oh, and the above opinions apply only to those who are of age and or responsibility of having to pay for their own gaming experience. Because kids nowadays are so spoiled with their iGadgets and designer shoes that their parents will buy them every damn game they want, regardless of the price. But that, too, is another discussion on its own. Thanks, guys. So sorry for the length. That's what she said. Jeff, Better Tomorrow.
Thanks, Jeff.
I 100% agree with him. Although, well, I'm going to say 90% because I don't think his pricing is right. I'm like, I'm wondering if you went to like a mom and pop store that kind of threw $5 on the price or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's kind of where it would probably get too expensive for me is if it went back to the way it was in the cart days where you would have to go and buy a game for $80.
Yeah. Right.
And that's just not, you know, I'm not down with that. And, you know, consoles have become more expensive, but you're getting so much more for your money right now. I mean, for $300, you get a PS3, which plays games. You can use it as a video server. You can play Blu-ray movies on it. You can do all kinds of shit. And, you know, there's a lot of bang for your buck there. And on the other side of the coin, you pay $300 for a PlayStation, for the first PlayStation, you know, and when it first came out. And all it did was pretty much play games and music CDs.
Right.
Woo-hoo. So, yeah, I mean, I can understand.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think gaming has gotten cheaper, if anything. The only difference is that there are a lot more AAA games coming out all the time, so there's a lot more to buy, possibly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these days, I mean, just like I was talking about before, two great games, Lara Croft and Monday Night Combat, those are $15 each.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Those are great games. Those will last you a while. It's just that there's a lot more great games out there to buy more often. But I think overall, per capita, per great game, I mean, the prices have actually probably gone down.
And on top of that, to second what you're saying, development costs have tripled.
Skyrocketed.
Yeah. So it is fortunate that we are, you know, getting said, said great price on games, especially, you know, for a retail copy. But I think it does just stick to retail because, I mean, the first email from B-Wrong hit what kind of sparked this whole talk with us was, you know, the nickel and diming. I think
the
cost of consoles being very, very expensive, like the $500,
then you have to buy all the accessories and then,
Still to this day, I think even with the PlayStation 3, it's like, it's supposed to be the next gen console. That's what Sony was saying. This is it for the current gen. This is what you're going to be looking for. And you didn't even get component cables with it.
Yeah,
right.
You know, like seriously, guys, come on.
For me, it's more like you didn't even include an HDMI cable.
Seriously.
I could go and buy an HDMI cable on Amazon for like a dollar.
If that.
Yeah. You know? It's like, just grab some cheapo HDMI cable and throw it in there. It's digital. It doesn't have to be anything special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't get it. And it's the nickel and diming. Like, you know, we were talking about it even on break and we touched on it a little bit on the show, how we're not so hyped up about Kinect. But honestly, when you're looking at the price, I mean, Kinect's really the deal to go if you want the more, you know, if you already have the Xbox itself, Kinect's the way to go. Because if I want the full PlayStation Move, and I'm a big advocate for the Move, but if I want the PlayStation Move, if I want two main controllers, two sub-controllers, and at least one game, I'm spending well over 200 clams.
Yeah, not to mention you need the PlayStation Eye there, too.
Right? Which, thankfully, I already have.
Yeah.
Thankfully, but that's an extra $30 if I didn't have that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, maybe I could kick up the bundle, but that's still just one controller, one game, and one camera. That's not an extra controller.
Yeah, it doesn't even come
two sub controllers.
Doesn't even come with a nav controller, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And this is where the conversation sparked. And while we're talking about it now, it's the nickel and diming. Yes, the consoles are more expensive, but I can almost accept that. Not $600 launch day, and it's not working as well, and they're going to brick on you really soon. Worth it, but if it's a good console, I'll spend $500 on it. I mean, I'm just that type of gamer, but I won't do it with a smile, but I'll do it. But it's nickel and diming with accessories and whatnot. I mean, if you're going to charge that much, especially for consoles, give us what we
need. Oh, dude, controllers these days cost like $50.
$60? Yeah. Come on, man.
Yeah, $55 retail.
New Microsoft one is $65 with the...
Yeah,
because
you have to get that... And again, it's the nickel and diming. We talked about that last week because you have to get that stupid play and charge kit with it.
Yeah.
Which you may not need anyway. Right?
You will not
need. Or want because it sucks. You know,
right.
Yeah, I'm with you, Travis, 100%. There's way too much of the nickel and diming, and You know, you're talking about the Move, and the Move is definitely guilty of it. But up until recently, Microsoft was the worst with the whole $100 fucking wireless adapter. And, don't forget to get your hard drive that costs, you know, $150 and it's 120 gigs and shit like that. You know, it's bad all around. And Move is just making.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly call that nickel and diming, though. That's more like just spending shitloads more money.
It leads perfectly into our final email. But before we segue into that, which will ruin the segue, and I fucked it up. But
like, why are you going to pass
it to me now?
We have
a voicemail in between this great segue. So, so Chris, why don't you give us the voicemail, the VM?
Hey guys, it's Fluffy. Mate, just calling up for your question of the week.
Fluffy.
Mate, with the gaming too expensive, shit, fuck OTs. Mate, I don't understand, mate, this is ridiculous. Like, I know you know we got different prices and shit, but our games, $110 standard.
Holy crap.
And I'll tell you what, when Street Fighter 4 came out, I went in there and all of a sudden, $120. And the girl at the counter said, oh, it's always 120. I'm like, oh, bull fucking shit it is. It's not. You're wrong. But, yeah, so now they go up to 120. They range between, like, 110 and that. Oh, God, it's ridiculous.
That is
plus
ridiculous.
The collector's editions, which, you know, I have to have because I feel weird if I don't get it. I just want it. Well, fucking. Yeah, that's it. Really fucking expensive. What else is... Wait, and you know what you were saying? $30 for two people for the movies? Yeah, good on ya. Mate, for me, $35 for one ticket.
Oh.
Whoa.
I'd like to know the exchange rate,
like
though.
I recline a lounge, and I get served beer and chicken, and I sit above all the peasants in the common seats. You know, I like my good seats. But yeah, that's about it. Okay, see you later, guys.
Good yeah. God. Okay,
that's poor Australians.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Got to deal with their high prices and their kangaroos everywhere. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's, man, $110. I don't think I'd be a gamer if I had to pay $110.
Yeah, but again, like I said, what's the exchange rate? Because
it's almost double that of the American, I think.
Yeah.
Australian dollar.
See, that's, then it's probably pretty normal.
I don't know. I think they're still paying quite a bit more. I think they're paying quite a premium for like getting stuff shipped over there and stuff like that.
Really? It's I tried. Repeat was saying that a while back because Repeat is also in Australia, and you know, he said that they kind of get again nickel and dimed for extra services like shipping and whatnot. So you're probably
the exchange
not too far
rate's not
from
as,
the truth,
as
John.
Different as you think.
Yeah.
The exchange rate, it's a US dollar is $1.10 in Australia right
now. So they're getting hit hard.
They are getting hit hard.
Yeah, they're taking
they are getting hit hard.
Yeah, I couldn't be a gamer. I'd be hitting those Australian GameStops.
Yeah, so that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I feel for you guys, man.
Terrible.
Repeat
and
Fluffy Nuts, all you Australians out there, I feel for you guys. I really do.
Yeah, so that sucks.
Move to the U.S. If you're a gamer, move to the U.S.
Apparently, I can't find a decent segue to segue from the voicemail to the last email, so I'll just get into it. Hey, in dumbasses and Travis.
Wow.
Wow, that works out well for you.
Yeah.
It's okay, Jonathan, because that's the first time it's ever worked out well for him. Usually it's working out well for me and Jeff.
All right, then.
It's been a while since I've sent in an email, but I'm sure you're all doing fine without my retort. This is Asian619, by the way. Anyways, I'd like to chime in on the question of the week. If you're referring to just the games, I think gaming gets too expensive when you can buy two games and you come up to the cost of damn near a console. You know what? Scratch that. If you can buy two of anything, accessories, games, etc., and come up with the cost of a console, it's too expensive. By far, PC gaming is so much worse. I just had my video card die on me, and just to play games like Left 4 Dead and Bad Company 2 on PC, I went out and bought a $200 video card. In the last 2 years, I spent damn near $1,600 on my gaming rig.
Good
Hope
God.
You all have a good show. Asian619.
And that is why I am not a PC
that's why
gamer.
PC game,
yeah, but I also don't understand the buying two games for the price of a console. I mean, I guess if you consider two special editions.
Well, I guess
will be the price of a console. Well, no,
that too, but like I mean, okay, eventually, like right now, 360 is what $199 in their arcade unit.
The cheapest you can get like $149, isn't it, or something?
Well,
no, the arcade unit is still $199.
Oh no, the Wii is $149. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and yeah, the new like the 360 Slim with the 4 gig hard drive and all that, I think it's like $199. But the thing is, accessories don't ever drop in price while the console is there. So like you're still paying, like you said, $60 for a controller. So if you're buying two controllers, now of course not gonna equal $199, but it's pretty damn close. Like I can see where he's going with
That is true. I can see that. Yeah, the attach rate's a big deal. Like even way back in the day when I was selling like cameras and camcorders for, you know, at Best Buy, like they were like, okay, yeah, selling the camera's fine, but attach accessories, attach, attach, attach. And that was their big thing, you know? So yeah, that makes sense. I see where you're going.
I was actually really surprised. I mean, it's not gaming related, but on topic with what you just said, when I went and bought my phone last week, they didn't ask me if I wanted any accessories at all. And you know, they make a shit ton of money on those accessories, man.
Yeah.
And they don't make jack shit on the phones, I don't think. Not when they're giving them away for $200 and they're, retail price is like $600.
Yeah.
Do they make much on like activations? I can't imagine.
I don't know. I guess it depends on the service provider.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that they give some sort of, they got to give something back for it. So.
That's weird. But anyway, but unless we have anything to add, I wash my hands with these emails, man. We are done with the question of the week.
Yeah, I think we mostly agree. I mean, I'm okay with where it is right now. I just don't want it to go back to where it was. When games start hitting, you know, $80 a pop, I mean, that's when I'm going to seriously consider whether or not I should still be a gamer.
Well, this is the worry, okay? And this is just a little more in-depth what you were saying. Look, we were last-generation games, $50. We were kind of content with that. I like where we're at. Next generation comes in, and it bumps up to $60. There was a little bit of crying here and there. I mean, it does hurt the wallet. The extra $10 can go to something else, but now we accept it. Okay, well, here's the deal. Look at Xbox Live. The medium used to be, $5 to $7, and then it was $10, you know, and then last year it moved from $10 to $15 this year. So it seems like they're kind of, in a way, it seems it could be like testing the water of like, okay, well, we're upping the price every year. What happens when the quote unquote 720 in the PlayStation 4 comes out? Okay, well, let's bump that up to 70 or to 80 in Canada.
Then,
like, is that the direction
I think
we're heading?
Then it comes down to the developers and they either do one of two things. They cut the cost of their development so they don't have to raise the prices, or just hope to God that people are willing to do that.
I hope we don't put it to the developers because the price is going to be looked to the people who sell the most games, and who sells the most games? Activision. And of course they're going to say up the fucking price. So yeah,
I think there's a few different issues here, though, because like if you look at it, I saw a tweet. I forget who it came out of, and I haven't corroborated these numbers myself. But like when Xbox Live first came out in what 2002, it was $50, and then it's been up to now to $60, and they figured it out, and the inflation accounts for all of it.
Right.
The currency inflation itself accounts for that price hike. So we're technically not paying anything more than we are now. Yeah. And I don't think it's really a great concern, especially considering where the games market is going right now. We're seeing a lot of smaller games. We're seeing prices being driven lower. So I think the trend is going to be towards going lower than higher. I mean, these things kind of equal out. I don't think we're going to see $80 games in 15 years from now. But even if we did, it might be in line with inflation. So
yeah,
who knows?
Well, we just talked about all these great downloadable games we're playing, and a lot of companies now are just like Telltale. They're not making any, like all their games coming out soon are all going to be downloadable. So I think a lot of these people are going to go, like you said, the lower prices, put it on one of the downloadable like mediums, and then go that way. Because a lot of these games are hitting the quality of like first gen like games that were coming out for PS3 and 360. Like it's, I don't know. I think this development costs are going to get so high where the developers themselves, it's going to be almost impossible to make money off a big budget game if they keep going too much higher. So I agree with John. I think if anything, we'll see another price drop rather than a price hike in the next couple of years.
I think the thing we probably have to worry about more is seeing the big AAA releases in the quantity that we're seeing them now. I think that will become somewhat of an unviable model quicker than it than we'll have to worry about raising prices.
That's a good point. That's actually a fantastic point. I mean, not to bore you guys bringing sports into it, but you know, in 2005 when NFL 2K5 put out their brand new game, you know,
$20,
damn near day and date with Madden, and put it for $19.99. That was the last time Madden got outsold.
Was it actually? They outsold them. Huh?
They outsold them.
Yeah. Shit. I mean, EA spun it and said that they made more money because, you know, their price was higher, but, you know.
But they got outsold per unit.
They did outsell it.
They got outsold. Oh, I was going to say at the same time, 2K didn't put another sports game after, or another football game, but that's because EA bought the license. So, never mind.
After that, it was all done. They got beat that year, so they
That's why they went out and bought the license.
Yeah.
But it also shows, like, because they also released hockey and basketball at $19.99 as well, and the next year they bumped right back up to.
Yeah, but football is a whole different beast. Like,
it's
a whole different beast. So, but yeah, that's a good point.
I agree.
Yeah, and that's it for me, man. I have really nothing else to say unless you guys do.
Well, the one thing that I was going to say is that, you know, it's kind of in the hands of the developers. Like when a new system comes out on, they're putting faith into whether or not they'll be able to sell games, you know, like future releases, because, you know, many developers right now are putting all their effort into the engine in the first game. And then they're using the same engine and just making tweaks here and there to lower the development costs of future games.
Oh, shit, more middleware everywhere.
Right, and that's the thing. And with all the middleware that's coming out, exactly, Jeff, it's, you know, they're finding ways to cut corners and lower development costs. And that's just a side effect of the fact that systems have become so powerful and you can do so much more with them. So I'm hoping that trend continues and developers will continue to use middleware and reuse engines and tweak their engines and keep their development costs as low as possible.
We had Speed Tree this generation. Hopefully next generation we have a Speed third-person shooter.
All right, cool. I am I'm spent, so how about you guys?
Yeah, I'm done.
Cool.
Cool deal. All right, well, let's get some new releases going. We'll finish up this show and get the heck out of here. Here we go.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so there's one title which clearly dominates the release list this week, and that is, of course, Phantasy Star Portable 2. And that's for PSP.
PSP?
Elsewhere on PSP, we have Gladiator Begins, which is a game by Acquire. So they're the makers of the Holy Invasion Beast of Dragon. Privacy Badman series, and Way of the Samurai. Looks like some sort of Gladiator RPG combat game. Could be interesting. Apparently there's a demo on PSN. It's been there since like mid-July, so, you know.
Pete and Pete?
Whatever. Also on PSP, we have King of Fighters Sky Stage, which is a downloadable-only title, I believe. Now, unlike most King of Fighters games, which are, well, fighting games, this is a shmup.
Shmup.
So, yeah. Now, it could be interesting. Finally, it looks like the XBLA title for this week is Sonic Adventure, which is a port of the Dreamcast version. So, yeah.
Peter Griffin?
I don't really like 3D Sonic games, so whatever. And that'll pretty much do it. Oh, and there's that to Halo's Reach Around or whatever the fuck it's meant to be. But yeah, who gives a shit about that?
He gives who gas to Halo's. What
at least he mentioned it. I'm like, hey, Madden.
Yeah, he didn't even mention Madden. August pissed me off.
I knew he was gonna throw out Phantasy Star as the most important release next week, though. It's like, I see it coming. All right, let me see if there's gaps to fill in. There's
one humongous gap.
Is there?
Your mom.
Well, not really.
Mom's face. Move comes out next week. That was a gap. So, I don't know if we should...
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, Move is out on the 16th.
Aren't I buying that?
I think you are buying that.
Oh, wow, that's really crazy. That's next week.
Yeah, that's next week.
Yeah.
Oh, man, had no idea.
Hey, look at that. They're trying to get some attention away from Halo. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that. Why are they releasing
that? Because they're doing that, I'm not buying Move like that week, basically.
Well, I'm getting it. I think, listeners, please do not hold us to this, but I think we're going to try. We started the talks, and we might be doing an end dispression similar to what we did with 3D.game Heroes for this. I know we said that for Castlevania, and we didn't do it, but...
Yeah, well, we did it. It just never came out.
Oh, wow. Okay, you did do it.
Yeah, we did. We actually recorded it. It just hasn't... you know, Jason hasn't put it out yet.
Okay. Well, I think doing it for Move, Jason said it in a thread that is ripe for comedy. And I think he's very, very right. So I'm really excited to have the chance to do that for Indiscretions. So hopefully we can do that. But pick.
As not a regular member of the cast, I'd just love to say that I really enjoyed your guys' video for 3D.Game Heroes.
Oh, thanks.
Did you? Thank you very much.
Yeah. That whole bar bit, that was cool.
That's our place. Actually, we go
that's
there.
That's Battle and Brew, man. That's,
like once every 2 weeks.
That's Indisfest.
Indisfest, yeah, that's where Indisfest is.
Yeah, they pretty much let us take over the place, you know,
it's great.
A couple times a year. It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
I'm looking around, and I don't see anything that's worth mentioning besides what Repeat mentioned, so I'm not going to. So let's just go with Pick of the Week.
Halos.
Fucking Reach, 100%.
Easy. Yes.
Fantasy Star.
Oh, wow.
I'm that guy. I'm that guy. Yeah. All right, let's do some emails, Travis.
Sup, Indus. It's Shadow Hado again, wishing you guys a very happy football season. Go Pack, go. Mm-mm. So I'd like to start out by saying I'm very, very glad to hear some of you have started to give in to the Dragon Quest IX love. I picked this game up in the last week of July, and I've put about 170 hours into it. God,
holy
wow.
God, man,
that's insane.
Granted,
that's crazy.
I beat
into a DS game.
I know that is man. Nuts. I wonder who's paler, him or Necro.
Oh, actually, speaking of that, Necro, props for giving me the code for God of War.
Oh, sweet.
The demo.
Cool.
Yeah, I forgot to mention that when I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, which none of us have played yet, actually.
Yeah, well, I would if I can find my PSP.
We will soon. I'll let you know how it is. Anyway, granted, I beat the game closer to 40 to 50 hours, and you can cut that way down, but I just can't put Dragon Quest IX down. The last time I even came close to putting this many hours into something so fast was either Phantasy Star Online or PSU. I'm totally with you that I disagree with the art style they use for 8 and 9, but it does totally work with the humor and the flavor of the game. I just miss how when you got beat down in the NES Dragon Warriors, you really felt like shit hit the fan. Everything was darker, enemies looked evil instead of playful. The monsters weren't licking their clubs and laughing or being provocative between turns. They were just bringing the hurt more. My only problem with Dragon Quest IX is that I've been neglecting about every other game I own for an entire month. I see where he's coming from. Recently, I started to play a little Scott Pilgrim on Xbox Live. But while I agree that the combat is pretty limited, I really didn't feel the game was difficult at all so far. When I played it in the hardest difficulty, it didn't change much, except the damage I took per attack increased dramatically. All you do is lead them to the side of the screen, pop them, and then juggle them to death. If you can't do this, just do like Street Fighter and jump in with a deep attack, low poke, and then finish the combo. Anywho, I wanted to point out that the freezing problems you guys had with the PSN version seems to be the same on the XBLA. I was in the middle of replaying the first stage, and all of a sudden, the game just froze up. If I remember correctly, if it matters, I was near the swings right after the first boss. It locked up my entire console. I couldn't even press the guide button. Haven't touched the game since. That's the end of the email, but he gives us a quick little multiple choice question time. So we'll answer it real quick. Number one, fries, cheese, nuggets, onion rings, or french fries?
Wait, what? Fries,
aren't
cheese,
fries
nuggets?
And french fries the same thing?
Yeah. Oh, fried cheese nuggets. Okay.
Cheese sticks.
Okay. Cheese sticks. All right. Cheese sticks, french fries, and what?
French fries. Onion rings.
Onion rings.
I like onion rings, man.
Yeah, me too. I'm with onion rings.
Yeah. He has a lot of these. He has a lot of these, so I'm just actually going to do one more. This is a really good one. Killer Instinct, Mortal Kombat 2, or Street Fighter 2 Turbo?
Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Oh.
Hands down.
Mortal Kombat 2.
I didn't really start liking Street Fighter until Super, so I have to say Mortal Kombat 2.
I put more time into Mortal Kombat 2.
Jonathan?
He said,
yeah, Mortal Kombat 2 all the way.
Mortal Kombat 2.
I am so hyped for this new Mortal Kombat game, might I add.
You should have seen how excited Nico was when he got to see it, man, at E3.
Yeah?
He was ecstatic.
That's awesome. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
He finishes off, thanks again for the great work you guys do, all the entertainment you provide on a weekly basis. Endless love. Peace. Shadow Haddo.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Shadow. You should keep some of those multiple choice questions for later. For a different show.
Yeah, I might. I might
throw that in the mailbag.
Okay, I'll mailbag it. Absolutely. We got another one. It's from a new listener, guys. Hey, guys, I heard you on your most recent podcast, episode 143, that you were saying you could even have new listeners as recent as that episode. Well, yeah, that was my first episode ever.
Wow, okay.
I'm Harry from the UK and downloaded your latest episode this morning, and already I'm hooked. I'm in the process at the moment of downloading old episodes to see what you think of other games and such. I'm a PS3 gamer myself and downloaded Madden 11, whoop whoop, after hearing you guys talk about it. As you may know, us English Travis. Guys know absolutely nothing about the NFL. So, if you can give me any tips on how to learn the game for an absolute noob to the NFL, it would be much appreciated. Thanks, Harry. Thank you. Practice mode. Practice mode, practice mode, practice mode. That's all I can say.
I think he wants more of an understanding of the game, though. Not the actual video game.
Honestly,
the game of
there's
the
so many
foosball.
Rules in the game. I mean,
there
for TFK,
rules.
You know what? Starting off, like, if I didn't watch football, what the hell do you pick on defense? Because that's the most boring part to play in a football game.
Well, that's what's great about the new Madden game. Like, it's a one-button press. You had game flow, and each team has their own game plan. It's not like Ask Madden. It sets up a game plan based on the playbook of that team to where you just press that one button for defense, and you don't even have to control a player. You just sit back and let the game play itself. If you want to control the character and do some more of the advanced stuff, it's there for the hardcore if you want to take it that far. But if not, if you want to play it casually and just enjoy the game, you can just let the computer do its thing. And then when you get on offense, you can, you know, have all the fun. Because, yes, defense does get it's just not as fun as offense, of course. But you can take it as far as you want. But, yeah, do the practice mode, man. They give you all the chances you can do to do offense, do defense, special teams. Just get a feel for it before you take the chance in venturing forth and playing online. If you have a headset, it'll make it easier. My PSN name is Spoiler Alert, all one word. So look for Spoiler Alert, add it to me, let me know you're Harry, and I'll add you a spot. And if you want to do a time, man, we'll play. I'll show you the ropes. So I'll do my best. I don't know.
Travis is always looking for another person.
And don't do the typical, go all out and just beat the shit out of him and be like, well,
no,
you know,
no,
you got,
no,
you got
no,
a good
no.
understanding of the game. All right.
No, Jack was just asking for it. So, do we have any regular voicemails, Chris?
I have one voicemail that I'm going to save until you're done with emails. So
all right, sounds good. So I will finish off with our final email from our good friend, my Modern Warfare buddy, Mr. Animated Fan. He says, "Hey guys, I wanted to write in about this week's question." Oh, I'll do a little sidebar here. Actually, I skipped his email from last week, so he's actually going to touch on gaming swag. But I felt that this would be great for just the regular portion of the show. The gaming swag that I have bought are figures from series like Final Fantasy VIII and X, Shadow of the Colossus, Assassin's Creed, the Metal Gear series, God of War 2, and Legacy of Kain: Soul Reaver. Woot woot. Also, I have a few posters, my modded Street Fighter 4 Tournament Edition Fight Stick, strategy guides, and the usual stuff that comes in the collector's editions of games like art books. The type of gaming swag that I have been wanting to buy more of are t-shirts and soundtracks. I only have a few video game related t-shirts at the moment, but lately I've been wanting to get more. And the soundtracks are great in my case for when I want something to listen to while I'm driving around. Well, thanks for the episode, guys, and I will end this email by saying, Indus Fest!
Indus Fest!
Thank you, Animated. I told you, I promised you I was going to read your email. So
I am so
speaking
jealous
of that, do we have
Navishin's, the Colossus figures?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Those are pretty kick-ass. I haven't even seen those anywhere besides pictures on the internet.
It's pretty awesome.
Did those even come out in the States? Are those, like,
probably not.
Or something?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. But Animated orders some of that. Probably orders some of that stuff from, like, PlayAsia and shit like that. So,
yeah,
right.
You know, they sell most of those figures and stuff.
Cool Animated stuff. Seems like kind of like me. Like, you kind of want, like, stuff that not everybody has. Because especially with like the Final Fantasy series, there are a ton of things. Every year Final Fantasy comes out, there's a lot of like Japan-only things that you would have to get imported, especially with that series.
At E3, we were at the Sony blog meetup.
Right.
And he won a...
I saw that!
Yeah, he won a fucking Uncharted 2 art book that was signed by all the team. It was fucking awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, and it was hard bound. It was a big ass art book too. It wasn't like the piddly like 20 page paperback one that you get in special editions. This was a bound hard book, hard bound art book. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, podcast. I think it was Beyond. They had ended up saying that like, yeah, some guy won this great art book by Uncharted, and I'm sitting there listening to it, and I was like, oh my god, they just kind of like, not by name, but mentioned animated on Beyond. I thought it was really, really cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was, I want to steal it.
It was pretty sweet, dude.
Cool deal. Well, that is all for me on the email front. How about
that? It's my turn?
It is your turn.
All right, here we go.
It's time for another edition of
How Do You Show Someone You Love that they are the one.
Worried about this one.
So many ways to express love. It's hard to choose just one. How you gonna do it? Some people like to kiss. Some people like to hug. Some lesbians like eating each other's shit out of a cup.
Hey guys, what's going on? Ace is High here. My question for you this week is, what is the best birthday gift you remember getting? Also, Reach, today's Monday. Well, you know, when the podcast comes out. Travis, Jeff, are you getting Reach at midnight? I don't expect Chris to, because he's not particularly fond of the first-person shooters, but that's all right. We still love you, man. Later.
Oh, I'm glad you still love me, because I don't like the same type of game you do. Thanks. This is a tough one. Best birthday present.
Have you not seen the internet before? Really? You don't like the same game against me? Fuck it. My fault.
You don't agree? My opinion's right.
You are to suck. Lol, 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 lol.
Stufu new. All right.
This one's easy for me. Birthday's easy for me. Okay. It was this year. My lovely wife, Megatron, she had... this year, she went and handmade. She's very crafty. She handmade everything for me this year. The two main ones were these two collages that are like on these boards that you mainly do painting on, like these canvases, and they're kind of like maybe a foot and a half by maybe a quarter of a foot. A piece, and one's like a Spider-Man one, but the other one is one that she went to GameStops, and this is what's great about it. She went to like two or three GameStops and just asked them if they had extra magazines or extra whatnots in here, and they just like gave her a whole bunch of magazines, like old Game Informers and whatnot. They just like shoveled stuff her way, and she went through all my game collections and wrote down all the games that I have and all the games. She knew the games that I played a lot and enjoyed. So, like, she got pictures of Madden, Modern Warfare. She got pictures of Red Dead Redemption, stuff like that, Mass Effect, stuff like that. And she cut out all those pictures, and she made this awesome, awesome collage of all my favorite games. And
that's pretty cool.
She knew that I liked one-of-a-kind stuff in my game room, and I hung it up day one. Like, oh, this is going up right now. There's no way this is going to wait. And she just made us stuff handmade. It was awesome. Chris, I think you saw.
I did see it. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So, honestly, that was like one of the best presents ever. I love, you know, I will tell anybody day one, oh, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, I can't really think of anything. Give me a gift card. Let me get what I want. I'm really famous for that.
I'm the same
gift
way.
Card. But I got to say, when someone doesn't even ask and they go above and beyond to make a collage of – to make, you know, something like so from the heart, that was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
That is totally awesome, Travis, but now you just made us all obligated to choose
like
something
douches.
From our significant others.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like,
not
fuck,
me.
Fuck, fuck. I'm like looking around.
Go ahead, guys.
Sorry.
Oh, dude, I don't even... fuck, my birthday's so close to Christmas, I get the two mixed up, so Chris will need to think some more.
I can't really think of anything off the top of my head as far as like birthday is concerned. But I got a present for Liam because of his birth. It was made by some friends of mine, Serena, Tina, and Lisa. Lisa A. Striker, actually.
The quilt?
The quilt.
Yes.
This is probably one of the coolest gifts I have ever seen given to anyone. And they made Liam a handmade quilt that was has all these has six different like video game icons on it. So it's got like a question mark block. It's got a Triforce. It's got the Zelda heart, like a little heart container, and it's got a Chocobo and Moogle from Final Fantasy, and it's got like a One Up Mushroom. And all of these are hand stitched into this freaking this quilt. And it is probably one of the most amazing things I have ever seen.
Yeah, it's fresh, man. I love it.
And I mean, that trumps anything that I can think of off the top of my head as far as my birthday is concerned.
English. We're bringing fresh back.
But, we're hoping to use that as part of our Halloween costume idea. So hopefully we'll get to post pictures of it and stuff like that soon. But it's really freaking awesome.
Cool. Next.
All right. Jonathan, you want to go?
Does that mean you're still thinking?
Yeah.
I'll go with one. My first ever flat screen TV. I got that as a present.
Oh, nice.
That's a good one.
Yeah. HD TV. had all the consoles ready. Was playing on SD before that. And that was actually from my girlfriend, so I'm in the clear here on this one. So.
Son
well
of
well done,
bitch.
Well done.
Okay. So yeah, that was definitely the best I had getting into the HD gaming glory there.
Nice. All right, Jeff, you're on a spot, man. You're on the clock.
I guess BJs don't count.
Was it while you were playing a game?
Yeah, so man, I see, like, my birthday's so close to Christmas, I get them mixed up, but it's, fuck. I honestly can't think of one for birthday, to tell you the truth, like, right off the top of my head. And I'm going to go, like, old school, because these are, like, two early-ass memories. I'm going to go with the earliest one I can remember. This is Christmas, so I'm kind of sidestepping the question, but anyway. Was when my parents got me the AT-AT Walker from Star Wars, and it was like behind the Christmas tree, and it was like everyone's done their gifts and everything, and I was like, ours already have. I'm like, sweet, awesome. My parents were like, oh, go around the Christmas tree. There's something there for you. Like, there's one more. And I went around there, and I don't even know how I didn't see it. It wasn't even wrapped. And I'm like, holy shit. I think it was the first time I actually swore in front of them, too. And I was like, I don't know, six. I was like, this is awesome. But that's like, I don't know, that just sticks in my memory like hardcore. I can't think of anything.
Now that you mentioned that, Crystal did get some of my friends together and got me the Lego Death Star for my birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's pretty badass.
I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Cool. Are we done with emails then? Well, then before we do question of the week, I think I have a game to give away.
All right.
Yeah, you do.
So the contest was for Valkyria Chronicles 1 for the PS3 sealed. Along with the downloadable content, Challenge of the EDU Detachment. Challenges of the EDU Detachment.
Nice.
And the question was, how many hours, according to the game clock, have I put into Valkyria Chronicles? I got a pretty large range of answers, and I'm going to go through a couple of them real quick. So I got 72 hours, I've got 83 hours, 69 hours. 69 should automatically win, but unfortunately it doesn't work that way.
That was 78 hours. Gearbox's Randy Pitchford.
What's that?
Actually, I think it was John St. John himself, the voice of Duke Nukem.
Oh,
69.
Yeah. Makes even more sense. Yeah.
let's see, 47 hours, 84 hours. This one is actually, he actually wrote out a pretty long email, 55 hours. 76 hours. All these are really high. 37 hours. 92 hours. And all of this is because I said less than 100, right? And 73 hours and 56 minutes. So it came down to two people that got it very, very close. Boric, otherwise known as Eric Filio, he said 37 hours. Ace is High, otherwise known as Joseph Fayette, he said 47 hours. The total amount that I've played, 41 hours, 40 minutes, and 15 seconds, which by a hair gives it to Boric. Wow. So they, it's, they, there's a 10 hour difference there, and 42 hours is right in the middle. And, so yeah, I got to give it to Boric. Congratulations, Boric. I will be sending that out to you very, very soon. Man, that was pretty cool.
Nice.
Very nice. I must say, you guys are generous, generous men to give out this sort of stuff every week.
Yeah.
Well, it's not every week, man.
It's not every week. We do have a monthly contest, which we'll bring up. We'll pimp more and everything.
And congrats, Boric. Woo!
Hey, Jeff is back from his mute button.
Yay! That's the first time it actually jammed, and I was just like,
yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, some of the stuff that we give away a lot, comes from, you know, publishers themselves. But, you know, for Valkyria Chronicles, you know, for me, it's just that, you know, I slept on this game. You know, I bought it right away when it came out, and I didn't play it enough. And then it wasn't until Nabishin challenged us to play through it, and I beat the game, that I was like, holy crap, this is a really fucking good game. Right. And since then, it's just been get the word out. You know, I mean, this is a really good game. It got slept on by a lot of people. Nobody, you know, it didn't sell as many as it should have, you know, and that's really what I was trying to do. So I had no problem, you know, dropping $30 to give it away. It's not really a big deal.
Right on.
I just want people to know that it's a great game. All right. Question of the week.
Do it.
Do it. So we're going to do, Nabishin's question that he proposed a few weeks ago. And, so what is the difference between difficult and cheap?
Ooh.
You can answer the question of the week by sending us an email that addresses email at interactivedistractions.com. Can you leave us a voicemail?
There's so many ways you can go with that. Sorry, just never mind.
I should leave us a voicemail. That number is 706-760-4337.
Hey, Jonathan, that is like Lee, but it's really not.
Oh, right. Yeah, I get that. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for humoring us. I appreciate that. Follow us on Twitter. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That's G-E-O-F-F.
And Jonathan, what's your Twitter?
Mine is at Jonathan Downen.
Jonathan Downen.
Yep.
Very cool. And we also have a Facebook group that is Interactive Distractions Podcast. And check us out on Cast Medium, which Jonathan is going to pimp once again right now.
That's right. Visit Cast Medium, leave some comments on some podcasts, join the conversation, and we'll see you there.
Cool. Yeah, you guys have anything else before we wrap up and get the hell out of here?
Go Saints. Saints opener is tomorrow. By the time you hear this, the Saints should be 1-0. Woo woo.
And Travis doesn't have enough ability to watch a football game and podcast at the same time. That's why we're doing this on Wednesday.
That's right.
And I just want to say thanks so much, guys, for having me on. It's been a blast. And also, I'm a relatively new listener, so I don't know how often you guys have guests. But if you do have guests more often than I know of, you should have Tyler Barber from Rebel FM on. Have it be a two-man podcast with Travis, and then it can be like him talking to himself.
That's right. The Mirrored Man podcast. The Man in the Mirror podcast.
So true.
There we go, yeah. You have the name ready and all, so.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And, you know, we've been trying to pimp Cast Medium for quite some time, and you know, it's just nice to see that it's getting some more attention. And, you know, I'm glad that, that you guys are getting more user submitted podcasts on there too, because it's really cool to see.
Yeah, totally appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. So really quick before we wrap up, I'm going to say contest entry for September is, Indus Fest the movie. Send in your thoughts on who would play each of us and anyone else who would be in the movie, like the angels and stuff like that. And that will happen in 2 weeks. So keep that in mind. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Travis.
I'm Jeff.
And that's Jonathan. Yeah, right here. Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
It reminds me of that one night when I had sex with a moose, and the moose, his name was Boudreaux, and lived in Atlanta. That reminds me, I need to eat some fiber. I haven't taken a shit in about a month. No, make that a minute.